Hello and welcome to Monday Night Playhouse. I am Damiano Pietropaolo, and it is my pleasure to welcome once again tonight Richard Manette, the Artistic Director of the Stratford Festival of Canada. Hello, Richard.
Good evening, Damiano.
Well, tonight we'll bring All's Well That Ends Well to a happy conclusion. Where were we last week?
Last week, we were in the bed plot. Bertram falls in love with this young woman, and Helena finds out about it, and then they reverse roles. In other words, he's blindfolded, and Helena replaces the young woman, and they go to bed and consummate, as we will learn later at the end. So that's where we were.
Now, in this scene where they try to capture Parolis, played by yourself, I might add, they're talking gibberish almost.
That's right.
Why?
Well, they're pretending to be Muscovites, and there's a line that says, you know, everybody talk a different language, and Shakespeare just invented all of this to scare Parolis, who thinks he's fallen into the hands of the enemies.
Is this unusual in Shakespeare, this kind of playfulness with language?
Yes, in the sense of it being totally meaningless, which is why it works, it is unusual.
And it is very funny and very silly. But what about Helena in this play? In an otherwise silly plot, nothing silly about her, is there?
Well, as always in Shakespeare, especially in the comedies, there are funny scenes, and there are serious scenes. It's a mingled yarn, as somebody mentions in the play. This is what makes him great, and of course it's very unlike the French authors of the time, which had the unities and an absolute, cohesive time, place, and action, where Shakespeare just throws in comedy in a serious play and puts in serious stuff in a comedy. It's part of his strength, his
and
genius.
And this is very much a quest play. Does she get her man? And how does she get her man?
Well, you know, she doesn't get it by good works, although she has a lot of good works. She gets it by grace. And that's how she gets him, in the belief in that. It's a Protestant and Catholic ethic at work here.
Well, let's join them on their journey towards a happy resolution. Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats for Act 3 of Shakespeare's All's Well That Ends Well, directed by Richard Manette for the 50th anniversary season of the Stratford Festival of Canada.
Other way but this. When you sally upon him, speak what terrible language you will, though you understand it not yourselves, no matter, for we must not seem understand him. Unless someone among us whom we must produce for an interpreter.
Good captain, let me be the interpreter.
Art not acquainted with him? Knows he not thy voice?
No, sir, I warrant you.
But what Lindsay Woolsey hast thou to speak to us again?
E'en such as you speak to me.
Ah. Now, he must think us some band of strangers in the adversary's entertainment. Now, he hath a smack of all neighboring languages. Therefore, we must every one be a man of his own invention, not to know what we speak one to another. Gabble enough and good enough. As for you, interpreter, you must seem very politic.
Couch, ho!
Oh, here he comes, to beguile 2 hours in a sleep and then return and swear the lies he forges.
10 o'clock. Within these 2 hours, 'twill be time enough to go home. What shall I say I've done? It must be a very plausible invention that carries it. Oh, they begin to smoke me, and his graces have of late knocked too often at my door. I find my tongue is too foolhardy, but my heart hath the fear of Mars before it, not daring the reports of my tongue.
This is the first truth that e'er thine own tongue was guilty of.
What the devil should move me to undertake the recovery of this drum? Being not ignorant of the impossibility and knowing I had no such purpose, oh, I must give myself some hurts and say I got them in exploit. Yet slight ones will not carry it. They will say, came you off with so little? And great ones, oh, I dare not give.
Is it possible he should know what he is and be that he is?
I would the cutting of my garments would serve the turn, or the breaking of my Spanish sword, or the bearing of my beard, and say it was done in stratagem.
It would not do.
Or to drown my clothes and say I was stripped.
Hardly serve.
Though I swore, I leapt from the window of the citadel.
How deep?
30 fathom. Oh, I would I had any drum of the enemy's. I would swear I recovered it.
You shall hear one anon.
A drum now of the enemy.
Troco por pulsos. Cargo!
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 Oh.
Ransom. Ransom. Do not hide mine eyes.
Trimaldo Boscos.
Oh. I know. You are the Moscos regiment?
And I shall lose my life for want of language.
If there be any here, German or Dane, low Dutch, Italian or French, let him speak to me. I'll discover that which shall undo the Florentine.
Moscos Vivado. Oh. I understand thee and can speak thy tongue.
Oh!
Carolee, Ponto! Sir, betake thee to thy faith, for 17 poniards are at thy bosom. Oh! Pray, Monka, Ravania, Duchka!
Askobarokos! Holy Boko.
Holy the general is content to spare thee yet.
Oh.
And hoodwinked as thou art, lead thee on to gather from thee. Haply thou mayst inform something to save thy life.
Oh, let me live, and all the secrets of our camp I'll show. Their force, their purposes. Nay, I'll speak that which you will wonder at.
But wilt thou faithfully?
Oh, if I do not, damn me.
A cordelita!
A cordelita!
Come! Art granted strength!
Go! Tell the Count Rusillian and my brother we've caught the woodcock, and we'll keep him muffled till we do hear from them.
Captain, I will.
He will betray us all unto ourselves.
So he will, sir.
Till then, I'll keep him dark and safely locked.
They told me that your name was Fontabelle.
No, my good lord. Diana.
Titled goddess, and worth it with addition. But fair soul, in your fine frame hath love no quality. If the quick fire of youth light not your mind, you are no maiden, but a monument. When you are dead, you should be such a one as you are now, for you are cold and stern. And now you should be as your mother was when your sweet self was got.
She then was honest.
So should you be.
No. My mother did but duty. Such, my lord, as you owe to your wife.
No more of that. I prithee do not strive against my vows. I was compelled to her. But I love thee by love's own sweet constraint. And will forever do thee all rites of service.
Aye, so you serve us, till we serve you. But when you have our roses, you barely leave our thorns to prick ourselves and mock us with our bareness.
I have always sworn true.
'Tis not the many oaths that makes the truth, but the plain, single vow that is vowed true. If I should swear by God's great attributes I loved you dearly, would you believe my oaths when I did love you ill? Therefore, your oaths are words and poor conditions, but unsealed, at least in my opinion.
Ch- change it. Change it. Be not so wholly cruel. Love is holy, and my integrity ne'er knew the crafts that you do charge men with. Stand no more off, but give thyself unto my sick desires. Then I'll recover. Say thou art mine, and ever my love, as it begins, shall so persever.
I see that men may wrap in such a snare that we'll forsake ourselves. Give me that ring.
I'll lend it thee, my dear, but have no power to give it from me.
Will you not, my lord?
It is an honor belonging to our house, bequeathed down from many ancestors, which were the greatest obloquy of the world in me to lose.
Mine honor such a ring. My chastity's the jewel of our house, bequeathed down from many ancestors, which were the greatest obloquy of the world in me to lose. Thus, your own proper wisdom brings in the champion honor on my part against your vain assault.
Here, take my ring. My house, mine honor, yea, my life be thine, and I'll be bid by thee.
Now will I charge you in the band of truth. When you have conquered my yet maiden bed, remain there but an hour, nor speak to me. My reasons are most strong, and you shall know them when back again this ring shall be delivered. And on your finger, in the night, I'll put another ring, that what in time proceeds may token to the future our past deeds.
A heaven on earth I have won by wooing thee.
For which live long to thank both heaven and me. You may sow in the end. My mother told me just how he would woo, as if she sat in his heart. She says all men have the like oaths. He had sworn to marry me when his wife's dead. Therefore, I'll lie with him when I am buried. Ah, since French men are so bred, marry who will, I live and die a maid. Only in this disguise, I think it no sin to cozen him that would unjustly win.
What hear you of these wars?
I hear there's an overture of peace.
Nay, I assure you, a peace concluded.
What will Count Rousillon do then? Will he travel onward or return again into France?
Sir, his wife, some 2 months since, fled from his house. Her intention is a pilgrimage to Saint-Jacques-le-Grand, which, holy undertaking, with most austere sanctimony she accomplished, and there residing. The tenderness of her nature became as a prey to her grief. In fine, made a groan of her last breath, and now she sings in heaven.
Hath the Count all this intelligence?
Aye, and the particular confirmations, point from point, are widely known.
I am heartily sorry that he'll be glad of this.
The web of our life is of a mingled yarn, good and ill together.
Here's his lordship now.
And my lord, it's not after midnight.
I have tonight dispatched 16 businesses. I've taken leave of the Duke, done my due with his nearest, buried a wife, mourned for her, writ to my lady mother, I am returning. And between these main parcels of dispatch, effected many nicer needs. But shall we have this dialogue between the fool and the soldier?
Bring him forth. Has sat in the stocks all night, poor gallant knave.
How does he carry himself?
He weeps like a wench that had shed her milk. And what think you he hath confessed?
Nothing of me, has he?
His confession is taken, and it shall be read to his face. If your lordship be'nt as I believe you are, you must have the patience to hear it.
He can say nothing of me.
Shh! Woodman comes.
He calls for the tortures. Oh. What will you say without them?
Oh, I will confess what I know without constraint. Ow! You pinch me like a pastry. I can say no more.
Bosco, Chimeco.
Bobli, Bindo, Chicken, Merco, the Shumbering, Garage, Manor, and Chevenade, Thunder, Chiman.
You are a merciful general. Our general bids you answer to what I ask you.
Oh, and truly as I hope to live.
First, demand of him how many horse the Duke is strong. What say you to that?
5,000 or 6,000, but very weak and unserviceable. The troops are all scattered, and the commanders, very poor rogues, upon my reputation and credit, and as I hope to live.
Shall we set down your answer, Saul?
Do, I'll take the sacrament on it.
What a past-saving slave is this?
You are deceived, my lord. This is Monsieur Paroles, the gallant militarist.
Well, that's set down.
5,000 or 6,000 horse, I said. I will say true, or thereabouts. Set down, for I'll speak truth.
He's very near the truth in this. Poor rogues, I pray you say.
Well, that's set down.
Oh, I humbly thank you, sir. A truce, a truth. The rogues are marvelous poor.
That's set down. You shall demand of him whether one Captain Dumain be in the camp, a Frenchman. What is his reputation with the Duke? What is his valor, honesty, expertness in wars? And whether he thinks it were not possible with well-weighing sums of gold to corrupt him to revolt? What say you to this? What do you know of it?
Well, I beseech you, let me answer to the particular of the interrogatories. Demand them singly.
Do you know this Captain Dumain?
Ho, I know him. He was a butcher's prentice in Paris, from whence he was whipped for getting the Shreve's fool with child. A dumb innocent that could not say him nay.
Is this captain in the Duke of Florence's camp?
Upon my knowledge, he is, and lousy.
What is his reputation with the Duke?
Ah, the Duke knows him for no other but a poor officer of mine, and writ to me this other day to turn him out of the band. I think I have his letter in my pocket.
Research.
Oh. In good sadness. I do not know. Either it is there or it is upon a file with the Duke's other letters in my tent.
Here it is. Here's the paper. Shall I read it you?
I know not if it be it or no.
Diane, the Count's a fool and full of gold.
That is not the Duke's letter, sir. That is an advertisement to a proper maid in Florence. One Diana, to take heed of the allurement of one Count Rossillon, a foolish, idle boy. But for all that, very rubbish. I pray you, sir, put it up again.
May I read it first, by your favor?
Oh, my meaning it, I protest, was very honest in behalf of the maid, for I knew the young Count to be a dangerous and lascivious boy, who is a whale to virginity and devours up all the fry it finds.
Damnable, both sides, rogue!
When he swears oaths, bid him drop gold and take it. After he scores, he never pays the score. Half one is match well made, match and well make it. He ne'er pays after debts, take it before, and say a soldier, Diane, told thee this. Men are to mell with boys, are not dukes, for account of this. The Count's a fool, I know it, who pays before, but not when he does owe it. Thine is he vowed to thee in thine ear, Paroles.
He shall be whipped through the army with this rhyme in his forehead.
I perceive, sir, by the general's looks, we shall be fain to hang you.
Oh, my life, sir, in any case. Not that I'm afraid to die, but that my offenses being many, I would repent out the remainder of nature. Oh, let me live, sir, in a dungeon, in stocks, or anywhere, so I may live.
Well, we see what may be done, so you confess freely. Therefore, once more to this Captain Dumaine, what is his honesty?
He will lie, sir, with such volubility that you would think truth were a fool. I have but little more to say, sir, of his honesty.
What's his brother, the other Captain Dumaine?
What is he asking of me?
What's he?
Eat a crow the same nest. He excels his brother for a coward, yet his brother is reputed one of the best there is. In a retreat, he outruns any lackey. Marry, in coming on, he has the cramp.
If your life be saved, will you undertake to betray the Florentine?
I and the captain of his horse, Count Rossillon.
I whisper with the general and know his pleasure.
No more drumming. A plague of all drums. Only to seem to deserve well and to beguile the supposition of that lascivious young boy, the Count, have I run into this danger. Yet who would have suspected an ambush where I was taken?
There is no remedy, sir, but you must die. Our general says you that have so traitorously discovered the secrets of your army and made such, shall you say, pestiferous reports of men very nobly held, can serve the world for no honest use. Therefore, you must die. Come, headsman, off with his head.
Oh, Lord, sir, let me live. Or let me see my death.
That shall you, and take your leave of all your friends. So, look about you. Know you any here?
Good morrow, noble captain.
God bless you, Captain Parolles.
God save you, noble captain.
Captain, what greeting will you to my lord Lefeu? I am for France.
Good captain, will you give me a copy of the sonnet you writ to Diana in behalf of the Count Rossillon? If I were not a very coward, I'd compel it of you. Fare thee well.
You are undone, Captain. All but your scarf that has a knot on't yet.
Who cannot be crushed with a plot?
If you could find out a country where but women were that have received so much shame, you might begin an impudent nation. Fare you well, sir. I'm for France, too. We shall speak of you there. Brashnek, Hudskaya, Vostokova.
Yet am I thankful. If my heart were great, 'twould burst at this. Captain, I'll be no more. But I will eat and drink and sleep as soft as captain shall. Simply the thing I am shall make me live. Who knows himself a braggart, let him fear this, for it will come to pass that every braggart shall be found an ass. Rust sword, cool blushes, and Parolles live safest in shame. Being fooled, by foolery thrive. There's place and means for every man alive. I'll after them.
That you may well perceive I have not wronged you, His Grace, the great and Christian King of France, shall be my surety, for whose throne 'tis needful ere I can perfect mine intents to kneel. Time was I did him a desired office, dear almost as his life. You must know I am supposed dead. The army breaking, my husband hies him home, where, heaven aiding, and by the leave of my good lord the king, we'll be before our welcome.
Gentle madam, you never had a servant to whose trust your business was more welcome.
Nor you, mistress, ever a friend whose thoughts more truly labor to recompense your love. Doubt not, but heaven hath brought me up to be your daughter's dower, as it hath fated her to be my motive and helper to a husband. But oh, strange men, that can such sweet use make of what they hate, when saucy trusting of the cozened thoughts defiles the pitchy night, so lust doth play with what it loathes for that which is away. But more of this hereafter. You, Diana, under my poor instructions, yet must suffer something in my behalf.
Let death and honesty go with your impositions. I am yours, upon your will to suffer.
Yet I pray you, but with the word, the time will bring on summer when briars shall have leaves as well as thorns and be as sweet as sharp. We must away. Our wagon is prepared and time revives us. All's well that ends well. Still, the fine's the crown. Whate'er the course, the end is the renown.
Your son was misled with a snipped taffeta fellow there, whose villainous saffron would have made all the unbaked and doughy youth of a nation in his colour. Your daughter-in-law had been alive at this hour, and your son, here at home, more advanced by the king than by that red-tailed humblebee I speak of.
I would I had not known him. It was the death of the most virtuous, gentle woman that ever nature had praise for creating. If she had partaken of my flesh and cost me the dearest groans of a mother, I could not have owed her a more rooted love.
'Twas a good lady. 'Twas a good lady. We may pick a thousand salads ere we light on such another herb.
Indeed, sir. She was the sweet marjoram of the salad, or rather, the herb of grace.
Whither dost thou profess thyself? A knave or a fool?
A fool, sir, at a woman's service, and a knave at a man's.
Your distinction?
I would cozen the man of his wife and do his service.
So you were a knave at his service, indeed.
And I would give his wife my bauble, sir, to do her service.
I will subscribe for thee. Thou art both knave and fool.
At your service?
No,
why, sir, if I cannot serve you, I can serve as great a prince as you are.
What prince is that?
The Black Prince, sir, alias the Prince of Darkness, alias the Devil.
Hold thee. There's my purse.
I am a woodland fellow, sir, that always loved a great fire. And the master I speak of ever keeps a good fire. But sure, he is prince of the world. Let his nobility remain in's court. I am for the house with the narrow gate, which I take to be too little for pomp to enter. Some that humble themselves may, but the many will be too chill and tender. And they'll be for the flowery way that leads to the broad gate. And the great fire.
A shrewd knave and a mischievous.
So he is. My husband made himself much sport out of him, which he thinks is a patent for his sauciness.
I like him well. Since I heard of the good lady's death, and that my lord your son was upon his return home, I moved the king, my master, to speak in the behalf of my daughter Madeline, which his majesty did first propose. His highness hath promised me to do it, and to stop up the displeasure he has conceived against your son. There is no fitter matter. How does your ladyship like it?
With very much content, my lord, and I wish it happily effected. I have letters that my son will be here tonight.
this exceeding posting day and night must wear your spirits low. In happy time, this man may help me to his majesty's ear if he would spend his power.
God save you, sir.
And you?
Sir, I have seen you in the court of France.
I have been some time there.
I do presume, sir, that you are not fallen from the report that goes upon your goodness, and therefore goaded with most sharp occasions which lay nice manners by, I put you to the use of your own virtues, for the which I shall continue thankful.
What's your will?
That it will please you to give this poor petition to the king, and aid me with that store of power you have to come into his presence.
King's not here.
Not here, sir?
Not indeed. He hence removed last night. And with more haste than is his use.
Lord, how we lose our pain.
All's well that ends well yet. Though time seems so adverse and means unfit. I do beseech you, sir, whither is he gone?
Marry, as I take it to the Paris court, whither I'm going.
I do beseech you, sir, since you are like to see the king before me, commend the paper to his gracious hand, which I presume shall render you no blame, but rather make you thank your pains for it. I will come after you with what good speed our means will make us means.
This
I'll do for you.
And you shall find yourself to be well thanked, whate'er falls more. We must to horse again. Go. Go. Provide.
Good Monsieur Lavache, give my Lord Lefeu this letter. I have ere now, sir, been better known to you when I have held familiarity with fresher clothes. But I am now, sir, muddied in fortune's mood and smell somewhat strong of her strong displeasure.
Truly, fortune's displeasure is but sluttish if it smells so strongly as thou speakest of. Oh, prithee,
allow the wind.
Nay, you need not stop your nose, sir. I spake but by a metaphor.
Indeed, sir, if your metaphor stink, I will stop my nose, or against any man's metaphor. Oh, prithee, get thee further.
Pray you, sir, deliver me this paper to Lord Lefeu.
Foe, prithee, stand away.
A paper from fortune's privy closet to give to a nobleman? Oh, look, here he comes himself. Here is fortune's cat, sir, that has fallen into the unclean fish pond of her displeasure. Pray you, sir, use the carp
as you may.
My lord, I am a man whom fortune hath cruelly scratched.
And what would you have me to do? 'Tis too late to pare her nails now. There's a quarter cue for you. I am for other business.
I beseech your honor to hear me one single word.
You beg a single penny more? Come, you shall have it. Save your word.
My name, my good lord, is Paroli.
Oh! You beg more than one word, then? Cox, my passion! Give me your hand. How does your drum?
Oh, my good lord. You were the first that found me.
Was I in suits?
It lies in you, my lord, to bring me in some grace, for you did bring me out.
Out upon thee, knave? Dost thou put upon me at once both the office of God and the devil? Sirrah, inquire further after me. I had talk of you, Nelson. Though you are a fool and a knave, you shall eat. Go to.
Oh, I praise God for you!
We lost a jewel of her. And our esteem was made much poorer by it. But your son is mad in folly, lacked the sense to know her estimation home.
'Tis past, my liege, and I beseech your majesty to make it natural rebellion, done in the blaze of youth when oil and fire too strong for reason's force, or bears it and burns on.
My honored lady, I have forgiven and forgotten all. though my revengers were high bent upon them and watched the time to shoot.
This I must say, but first I beg my pardon. The young lord did to his majesty, his mother, and his lady offense of mighty note. But to himself he did the greatest wrong of all. He lost a wife whose beauty did astonish the survey of richest eyes, whose words all ears took captive, whose dear perfection hearts that scorned to serve humbly called mistress.
Praising what is lost makes the remembrance dear. Well, call him hither. We are reconciled, and the first view shall kill all repetition. Let him not ask our pardon. The nature of his great offense is dead, and deeper than oblivion, we do bury the incensing relics of it. Let him approach a stranger, no offender, and inform him so 'tis our will he should.
I shall, my liege.
And what says he to your daughter? Have you spoke?
All that he is hath reference to your highness.
Then shall we have a match. I have letters sent me that set him high in fame.
A Count Rosillon, my liege.
Count, I am not a day of season, for thou mayst see a sunshine and a hail in me at once. But to the brightest beams distracted clouds give way, so stand thou forth. The time is fair again.
My high repented blames, dear sovereign, pardon to me.
All is whole, not one word more of the consumed time. Let's take the instant by the forward top, for we are old. And on our quickest degrees, the inaudible and noiseless foot of time steals, ere we can affect them. You remember the daughter of this lord?
Admiringly, my liege. At first, I stuck my choice upon her, ere my heart durst make too bold a herald of my tongue. Thence it came that she, Helena, whom all men praised, and whom myself, since I have lost, have loved, was in mine eye the dust that did offend it.
Well excused. That thou didst love her strikes some scores away from the great Comte. But love that comes too late, like a remorseful pardon slowly carried to the great sender, turns a sour offense, crying, that's good, that's gone. Our rash faults make trivial price of serious things we have, not knowing them until we know their grave. Our own love waking cries to see what's done, while shameful hate sleeps out the afternoon. Be this sweet Helen's knell, and now forget her. Send forth your amorous token for fair Madeleine. The main consents are had, and here we'll stay to see our widow's second marriage day.
Which better than the first, oh dear heaven, bless.
Come on, my son, in whom my house's name must be digested. Give a favor from you to sparkle in the spirits of my daughter, that she may quickly come. By my old beard and every hair that's on't, Helen that's dead was a sweet creature. Such a ring as this, the last that e'er I took her leave at court, I saw upon her finger.
Hers it was not.
Now pray you let me see it. For mine eyes, while I was speaking, oft was fastened to it. This ring was mine. And when I gave it Helen, I bade her, if her fortunes ever stood necessity to help, that by this token I would relieve her. Had you that craft to reave her of what should stead her most?
My gracious sovereign, howe'er it pleases you to take it so, the ring was never hers.
Son, on my life, I have seen her wear it, and she reckoned it at her life's rate.
I am sure I saw her wear it.
You are deceived, my lord. She never saw it. In Florence was it from a casement thrown me, wrapped in a paper, which contained the name of her that threw it. Noble she was, and thought I stood engaged. But when I informed her fully, I could not answer in that course of honor as she had made the overture. She ceased in heavy satisfaction, and would never receive the ring again.
Plotus himself hath not in nature's mystery more science than I have in this ring. 'Twas mine, 'twas Helen's, whoever gave it you. Then if you know that you are well acquainted with yourself, confess 'twas hers, and by what rough enforcement you got it from her. She called the saints to surety that she would never put it from her finger unless she gave it to yourself in bed, where you have never come, or sent it us upon her great disaster.
She never saw it.
Thou speakest it falsely, as I love mine honor, and makes conjectural fears to come into me, which I would fain shut out. If it should prove that thou art so inhuman, O God, 'twill not prove so. And yet I know not, thou didst hate her deadly, and she is dead, which nothing but to close her eyes myself could win me to believe, more than to see this ring. Take him away, we'll sift this matter further.
If you shall prove that ring was ever hers, you shall as easy prove that I husbanded her bed in Florence, where yet she never was.
I'm wrapped in dismal thinkings.
Gracious sovereign, whether I have been to blame or no, I know not. Here's a petition from a Florentine, who hath for 4 or 5 removes come short to tender it herself. I undertook it vanquished thereto by the fair grace and speech of the poor suppliant, who by this I know is here attending. Her business looks in her with an importing visage, and she told me in a sweet verbal brief, it did concern your highness with herself.
Upon his many protestations to marry me when his wife was dead, I blush to say it, he won me. Now is the Count Resilian a widower. His vows are forfeited to me, and my honors paid to him. He stole from Florence, taking no leave, and I follow him to his country for justice. Grant it me, O king, in you it best lies, otherwise a seducer flourishes, and a poor maid is undone. Diana Capulet.
I will buy me a son-in-law at a fair. I'll none of him.
The heavens have thought well on thee, Lafeu, to bring forth this discovery. Seek these suitors. Go speedily, bring again the count. I am afraid the life of Helen, lady, was foully snatched.
Now justice on the doers.
I do wonder, sir, since wives are monsters to you, and that you fly them as you swear them lordship, yet you desire to marry. What woman's that?
I am, my lord, a wretched Florentine, derived from the ancient Capulet. My suit, as I do understand, you know, and therefore know how far I may be pitied.
I am her mother, sir, whose age and honor both suffer under this complaint we bring, and both shall cease without your remedy.
Count, do you know these women?
My lord, I neither can nor will deny but that I know them. Do they charge me further?
Why do you look so strange upon your wife?
She's none of mine, my lord.
If you shall marry, you give away this hand, and that is mine. You give away heaven's vows, and those are mine. You give away myself, which is known mine. For I, by vow, am so embodied yours, that she which marries you must marry me, either both or none.
Your reputation comes too short for my daughter. He is no husband for her.
My lord, this is a fond and desperate creature whom sometime I have laughed with. Let your highness lay a more noble thought upon mine honor than for to think that I would sink it here.
Sir, for my thoughts you have them ill to friend till your deeds gain them. Fairer prove your honor than in my thought it lies.
Good, my lord. Ask him upon his oath if he does think he had not my virginity.
What sayst thou to her?
She's impudent, my lord, and was a common gamester to the camp.
He does me wrong, my lord. If I were so, he might have bought me at a common price. Do not believe him. Oh, behold this ring, whose high respect and rich validity did lack a parallel. Yet for all that, he gave it to a commoner of the camp, if I be one.
He blushes, and 'tis it of 6 preceding ancestors. That gem, conferred by testament to the sequent issue, hath it been owed and worn. This is his wife. The ring's 1,000 proofs.
Is there one here in court could witness it?
There is, my lord. But I am loath to produce so bad an instrument. His name's Parolles.
I saw the man today, if man he be.
Find him and bring him hither.
He's quoted for a most perfidious slave, with all the spots of the world taxed and abashed, whose nature sickens. But to speak a truth,
Am I, or that, or this, for what he'll utter that will speak anything?
She hath that ring of yours.
I think she has. Certain it is I liked her, and bored at her the wanton way of youth. She knew her distance and at angle for me, matching my eagerness with her restraint, as all impediments in fancy's course are motives of more fancy. And at last, her infinite cunning with her modern grace subdued me to her rate. She got the ring, and I had that which any inferior might at market price have bought.
I must be patient. You, that have turned off a first so noble wife, may justly die at me. I pray you yet, since you lack virtue, I will lose a husband. Ask for your ring. I will return it home, and give me mine again.
I have it not.
What ring was yours, I pray you?
Sir, much like the same upon your finger.
Know you this ring? This ring was his of late.
And this was it I gave him, being abed.
Ah. The story then goes false. You threw at him out of a casement.
I have spoke the truth.
My lord, I do confess the ring was hers.
You boggle shrewdly. Every feather starts you.
Monsieur Perales, this way.
Is this the man you speak of?
Aye, my lord.
Tell me, sirrah. But tell me true, I charge you, not fearing the displeasure of your master. By him and by this woman here, what know you?
So please, your majesty, my master hath been an honorable gentleman. Tricks he hath had in him, which gentlemen have.
Come to the purpose. Did he love this woman?
Faith, sir, he did love her. But how?
How, I pray you?
He did love her, sir, as a gentleman loves a woman.
How's that?
He loved her, sir. And he loved her not.
As thou art a knave and no knave, what an equivocal companion is this?
I am a poor man, sir, and at your majesty's command.
He's a good drum, my lord, but a naughty orator.
Do you know he promised me marriage?
Faith, I know more than I'll speak.
But wilt thou not speak all thou knowest?
Oh, yes, so please your majesty. I did go between them, as I said. But more than that, he loved her. For indeed he was mad for her. And talked of Satan and of limbo and of furies, and I know not what. Yet I was in that credit with them at that time. And I knew of their going to bed and of other motions, as promising her marriage, oh, and things which would derive me ill will to speak of. Therefore I will not speak what I know.
Thou hast spoken all already, unless thou canst say they are married. But thou art too fine in thine evidence, therefore stand aside. This ring, you say, was yours?
Aye, my good lord.
Where did you buy it, or who gave it you?
It was not given me, nor I did not buy it.
Who lent it you?
It was not lent me, neither.
Where did you find it, then?
I found it not.
If it were yours, by none of all these ways, how could you give it him?
I never gave it him.
This woman's an easy glove, my lord. She goes off and on at pleasure.
This ring was mine. I gave it his first wife.
It might be yours or hers, for aught I know.
Take her away, I do not like her now. To prison with her, and away with him. Unless thou tellest me where thou hadst this ring, thou diest within this hour.
I'll never tell you.
Take her away.
I'll put in bail, my liege.
I think thee now some common customer.
By Jove, if ever I knew man, 'twas you.
Wherefore hast thou accused him all this while?
Because he's guilty. And he is not guilty. He knows I am no maid, and he'll swear to it. I'll swear I am a maid, and he knows not. Great king, I am no strumpet. By my life, I am either maid or else this old man's wife.
She does abuse our ears. To prison with her.
Good mother, fetch my bail. Stay, royal sir. The jeweler that owes the ring is sent for, and he shall surety me. But for this lord, who hath abused me as he knows himself, though yet he never harmed me, here I quit him. He knows himself my bed he hath defiled, and at that time he got his wife with child. Dead though she be, she feels her young one kick. So there's my riddle. One that's dead is quick. And now, behold the meaning.
Is there no exorcist beguiles the truer office of mine eyes? Is it real that I see?
No, my good lord. 'Tis but the shadow of a wife you see. The name and not the thing.
Both. Both. Oh, pardon.
Oh, my good lord. When I was like this maid, I found you wondrous kind. There is your ring, and look you, here's your letter. This it says, when from my finger you can get this ring, and is by me with child. This is done. Will you be mine, now you are doubly won?
If she, my liege, can make me know this clearly, I'll love her dearly, ever, ever dearly.
If it appear not plain and prove untrue, deadly divorce step between me and you. Oh, my dear mother,
do I see you living?
Mine eyes smell onions. I shall weep anon.
Let us from point to point this story know, to make the even truth in pleasure flow. If thou be'st yet a fresh uncropped flower, choose thou thy husband, and I will pay thy dower. For I can guess that by thy honest aid, thou kept'st a wife herself, thyself a maid. Of that and all the progress, more or less resolvedly, more leisure shall express. All yet seems well, and if it end so meet, the bitter past, more welcome is the sweet. The king's a beggar. Now the play is done. All is well ended. If this suit be one that you express content, which we will pay with strife to please you, day exceeding day. Ours be your patience then, and yours our parts. Your gentle hands lend us, and take our hearts.
You've just heard part 3 of Shakespeare's All's Well That Ends Well, directed for the Stratford Festival of Canada by Richard Manette. In the cast, you heard Dominie Blythe as the Countess of Rossillon, Evan Bewling as the Elder Domain, Benedict Campbell as Labatch, Ian Deacon as Ronaldo, Bernard Hopkins as Lord Lafeu, William Hutt as the King of France, Sarah McVie as Mariana, and Richard Manette as Parolis. You also heard Lucy Peacock as Helena, Roger Shank as the younger Domain, David Snellgrove as Bertram, Sarah Topham as Diana, Brian Tree as the interpreter, Stephen Russell as the Duke of Florence, Ian White as the gentleman and first lord, and Bridget Wilson as Widow Capulet. Original music was composed by Berthold Carrier, producer was Barbara Worthy, engineer Wayne Richards. Sound effects were by Matt Wilcott, Jim Neal, and David Campbell. Associate producers, Rosie Fernandez and Colleen Woods. Special thanks to Dean Gaburi and Andre Tarasiak. That's it for tonight. If you would like to send us a letter, please address it to Monday Night Playhouse, Box 500, Station A, Toronto, M5W1E6. Join me again next week for the thrilling conclusion of All's Well That Ends Well. I'm Damiano Pietropaolo, and you've been listening to Monday Night Playhouse. Stay with us now for Ross Porter and After Hours. Good night.